Rick Dollar here with the Rick Dollar Show. And I don't think I'll ever get used to saying that, guys, you know?
Hey, it's great to have your own show.
Yeah. Well, my wife says I'm a closet narcissist, but maybe I'm not such a closet narcissist now. Maybe I'm just a narcissist. I don't know.
Radio narcissist.
You're out there. You're out there.
Oh, man. I'm with Zoe and Cloyd tonight. And how are you guys doing?
We're great.
Doing good. Yeah. Got our bottle of sleep. So we're ready to party.
You guys have got a huge week with this new record coming out, and I'm looking forward to it myself. I mean, I want to hear everything on there so I can get a feel for what you guys do and how you're, you know, what kind of artist you are and stuff. So
nice. You haven't heard it yet?
I've heard a couple of cuts, but I haven't heard it all yet. Sometimes I like to just sit down and listen to all of it if I can.
Yeah, we just did that ourselves last week in the car when we got our, you know, our copies. That was fun. We hadn't actually sat and listened to the whole thing through, too. It's an interesting album for sure.
Yes, it's a journey.
and that is a great way to say that. It is definitely a journey, and this could be something that shapes what you're going to do for the rest of your life. Have you ever thought about that?
Yeah, I mean, I think for us, like, every album is like a snapshot in time. So, like, each album is like, it just really shows kind of where you're at in your, yeah, just in whatever phase of life you're at or in your musical development. So I think, you know, this album is a little bit of a diverges a little bit from kind of the formula that we've been using. So that feels a little bit different and unique. I don't know if we're necessarily going to go like way down this road in the future, but it's been a really fun project to work on.
Yeah, see, that's a great way to put that. Now, everybody that can possibly get there in Black Mountain, North Carolina this week, Saturday, May the 20th at 8 p.m., you're going to be busting it wide open for everybody there. And from what I can understand, I saw the advertisement, you get a free drink for coming in.
Only if you get a VIP ticket.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
You gotta get one of those fancy tickets, you know? You know, the extra kind of thing, you know, VIP.
Whatever. Front row seating, you know.
Well, that's good. Hey, I've been to that place before in the past. It's been a few years ago. But it's a really cool spot. I mean, I loved it. So
very cozy.
Yeah, it's got a great feel. You know, Bob, the owner, is a wonderful guy. He's been in the music business forever, and
yeah,
the show's almost sold out. So hop to it and get a ticket.
Hey, there you go, man. No doubt about it. Now, this album is called "Songs of Our Grandfathers."
Yes.
So explain that that title for me and everybody else.
Well, do you remember that album that David Grisman and Andy Statman put out in 95 called Songs of Our Fathers? It was out on an acoustic disc, and it was a record that they put out largely about their Jewish heritage.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going, really bluegrass
record. It's not a bluegrass record, but it's, you know, it's in David Grisman's catalog, so, you know, a lot of bluegrass people might have heard it.
Sure.
And I don't know, it was kind of a cool idea. And then when we started talking about, you know, our grandfathers who were both musicians and have influenced us, you know, very heavily on either side of the coin, we were like, oh, we should, you know, if we're going to do a record sort of highlighting that, we should call it Songs of Our Grandfathers, because it's, you know, it just makes sense. And then we were like, oh, it's kind of like that old, you know, that Grisman and Statman record. So that was sort of the inspiration behind it. And we ended up reaching out to Andy and having him play on the record. So he was really, really psyched to do that. And his contribution on the clarinet and the mandolin was awesome. And I forgot what the original question was, but that's
where the album title come from.
That's where it came from. That's where it comes from.
It's quite literal. The songs on the album are about split between, you know, so John's grandfather was a pioneering bluegrass fiddle player, Jim Shoemate, who played Bill Monroe in 1945 and was Latin Scruggs' first fiddle player in 1948. So, you know, that he was a bluegrass fiddler for his whole life and wrote songs. And so about half the cuts are either songs that he wrote or that he played with Monroe or Flatten Scruggs. And then the other half are songs from my grandfather's repertoire, who my grandfather immigrated from Russia, and he was a professional klezmer musician, which is like Jewish folk music here in Philadelphia and Atlantic City. And his name was David Weinstein. So about half the songs are kind of from his repertoire. So that's where the name came from.
Okay. So genetically, you guys are destined to do this. Okay.
I guess.
Yeah. It's sort of just like, it's like when it opens up in the clouds and it's like songs of your grandfathers. You just kind of had to do the project.
From what I know about klezmer music, which still isn't as much as I would like to know.
Right.
Or even need to know, you know, that sort of that tradition of being in the klezmorum follows families, you know, and I guess bluegrass is sort of that way, but it's not always that way. You know, I mean, there's plenty of people who didn't grow up around bluegrass or anything like that, that become absolute, you know, the next generation of bluegrass. So I don't know, you know, it can go either way.
Well, I grew up in the Bristol, Tennessee area. And around in a little part of Bristol called Bluntville, they had a huge bluegrass festival there every year. Well, I was just a, you know, small kid, 8-10 years old. And I remember seeing this big billboard, Slagle's Pasture Bluegrass Festival this weekend.
Cool.
And I was riding with my grandfather, my mom's dad, in his truck one day. And he had slid in an 8-track of Doyle Lawson and Quicksilver. And so that's what the first part that I heard. But the second thing about it was, on the billboard, it said, this weekend, Dr. Ralph Stanley. Well, it didn't say Dr. Ralph Stanley at the time. It said Ralph Stanley and the Clinch Mountain Boys. And I was like, who's that?
Yeah.
Awesome.
And now knowing and being in the music business with a radio show and things like that, I've had the opportunity to interview both of them and know both of them. So I don't know how to say this. It is genetic.
Yeah.
You know,
it's a legacy, lineage and just the exposure and passing it down to the next generation.
Just speaking about today, I mean, I love Doyle, of course. He's incredible. And I was just saying today, mentioning to, I think, my daughter, because I was wearing a hat around the house that an old hat I got at a show back in the early 2000s, Ralph Stanley signed it, you know, and I was just, Ralph Stanley right here, Dr. Ralph. My favorite bluegrass artist of all time, right there. him and Carter.
Yes, he was passing that on to the next
generation. I was passing it on to the next generation.
And that is your job now. You know that, don't you? Yeah. Because we're doing this, it's our job to do this, because I'm seeing guys like Billy Strings and guys like that watched their dads play for all those years. And now he's done a complete record with his father.
Right.
It's wonderful. I mean, that's a great record. That's a great record.
It is. It's one of the best I've heard in a while.
Yeah. Their version of Long Journey Home, you know, you think, how many times can you hear Long Journey Home? I was like, that's standout to me.
Oh, man. Gives me chills, man.
Love it. Makes me want to go play that song right now.
Gosh. it's shocking, though, how, you know, you see things go forward in this business. And we're very fortunate, I guess, to be where we are, doing what we are at this particular time.
Yeah.
Yep.
And to see so many young people excited about it and carrying it on as well.
Yeah.
I'm loving it. I'm telling you. Okay. Now, the song that we're going to talk about is We'll Meet Again, Sweetheart. Was that your song to her, or what was that?
Sure. No. We're here together. No. Well, I mean, you know, I thought when you were saying, a song, you know, to think about, well, I mean, that's a good one for the bluegrass audiences are obviously, I'm sure, familiar with that track from the Mercury Sessions, Flat and Scruggs, 1948.
Sure.
Yeah. Recorded in Bristol. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, my grandpa played on that session with them after he had gotten Earl's job with Bill, you know, he had wanted to quit the road anyway, my grandpa, and Howdy Forrester had to get his job back with Monroe because of the rule with coming back from service. And when Flatt & Scruggs decided they were going to go on, they wanted Jim to be their first fiddler. And everybody was always knocking on Jim's door, you know. And he just, he loved to play, but he didn't like to tour. And he really was a brilliant stylist. I mean, the guy grew up in a cabin on a mountain in Wilkes County, never had any formal training, was playing incredibly by the time he was in 20 years old, you know. And Bill picked him off the radio and just like, you're the guy, you know, you're so bluesy, you're Arthur Smith, but you're in Tommy Magnus and all these guys put together, but you are your own style. And so anyway, that was a track that, you know, that one and Cabin in Caroline and a couple other ones that they recorded in 48. And you know, we just thought that'd be a great track to record. It's a wonderful track. It's up there in B. We've got Jim's fiddle that he played on the recording that we have that fiddle, and we're, you know, blessed to be the caretaker of that fiddle. And that's one he played all through the time with Monroe and in everything. And so Natalia played that fiddle on the track, and it's great. So anyway, it turned out wonderful.
That's amazing. See, it's all meant to be, and it all unfolded right here tonight in this interview. So
yeah,
it's so funny. I'm originally from Western Massachusetts, and after college, I was like, I'm gonna move down south to marry a bluegrass musician. You know, I guess
mistake you ever made.
You're gonna be,
you know, you manifest your destiny, I guess. So you know, it just so happened when I met John, you know, that his grandfather just happened to be, you know, a bluegrass fiddle player, you know, a very good one. And but that was, I liked John first, independently of the fact that his grandfather was a shoemate. But a good musician on his own too. He's not a fiddler. I did not let him pick up the fiddle. It's awful. But
oh, come on.
but I got to play with Jim Shoemate.
I didn't hear that.
I'm sorry, you're really good at everything else except the fiddle.
Okay, thanks.
Oh man, well, I worked for actually was the executive director at the Appalachian Cultural Music Association, the ACMA, in Bristol for a while. And we got a hold of a really good fiddle, Roy Acuff, an actual fiddle that he and his cousin had put together.
Cool.
Yeah, did it out of an apple tree.
Very cool.
From his grandparents, you know. So those types of instruments, they carry a lot with them.
So much mojo. Yeah.
Oh man,
that's so a cool. good place to. That's a good place to go with that.
And we got to play. I don't know how much you know about old time music. We got to play Kyle Creed's fiddle the other day.
Really?
Yeah, and
that sounded really good.
So cool. Yeah. You know, I mean, obviously known as banjo player, but it's like, you know, anyway, it was just great.
Yeah, I played basketball in Lamar Lunsford's fiddle a couple weeks ago too. That was cool.
Did you?
Yeah, up at Madison, up at Marseille. Yeah.
See, it's amazing. It's just flowing here with you guys. And this is going to be such a successful record. I mean, I can just tell you that. Look what you guys are doing here.
Thank you.
It's amazing to be on the outside looking in on this. But, do you have a little? Do you have a short story about how you changed to do your version of this song for the record?
We'll Meet Again, Sweetheart.
Yeah, it's a good question.
That one's pretty standard. You know, some of these songs we kind of reinterpreted a little bit. I would say with We'll Meet Again, Sweetheart, that's one that we stuck pretty close to the original, just because it's so darn good. Mm-hmm. It's hard to improve upon that, and you know, Jim's fiddle playing, like John mentioned, is so bluesy and swingy and flighty and just soulful. And it's like, I just don't think anybody could do that better. So I did learn his break for that, you know, for We'll Meet Again, Sweetheart, just because I love it so much, you know. Mm-hmm. So that's one that I think that we definitely kind of just really wanted to honor the original version of that, because it's so good.
Yeah. And I'm still not convinced that they weren't tuned up a half step like they used to do a lot. And that he might have played that out of B flat. Natalia played it in B on the record, like in standard tuning, which is difficult to get that sound. I mean, it's hard to know. I'm not sure. Maybe I would love to know if some other people could chime in about what they think about that. We've gone round and round about that for a long time.
Yeah, well, if you put it maybe out of the B flat shape, you know, and they tuned everything. Yeah, like John.
Like it was like everything was tuned up, because they did do that. Yeah. Flatt & Scruggs particularly did that. We're often tuned up to A flat, but it's just to have a tighter sound.
But even in B flat, it's tough to play. So, I mean, I don't think, you know, either way, it's not an easy break to play, you know, whether you're in A, B flat, B, whatever.
And I sing it vocally the way that I sing it. I have a higher voice. It's not as much like, it's not high up there in Monroe. Like if someone Monroe would sing in, you know, B or C, I might sing in B flat. But it's definitely higher than Lester. So, I mean, I don't sing a lot of, flat and Scruggs material just because of that. I've always been more of like I love flat and Scruggs, but I also like the Stanley sound. That sound has always kind of spoken to me.
Monroe, I mean,
I love all that stuff as well. And I don't know, just Natalia brings such an interesting perspective to that, not only vocally, but with her playing. I mean, she's a wonderful old time fiddler as well. And her klezmer, you know, fiddling is beautiful and just evocative. And I think we've got a nice mix of styles on this record. Just trying to bring these two styles of music together. People have asked us, you know, like, was that hard or how is this? Is that weird? And it's just like, it's for us, it's not.
That's what I'm saying. You're just doing it.
We're just doing it, you know, and it's like we're fans of all different kinds of music. And I mean, we took one of Grandpa's songs and put a little jam in the middle of it just because I like jam band music, you know, and it's
there
like,
you, go.
You know, and Natalia, you know, she can also play classical violin, and sometimes you'll hear echoes of that in her playing, and you just hear a little bit of everything. And, you know, and I think that's what any artist should do. I think they should just be who they are and play what they, you know, how it comes out and just be authentic to themselves. I don't like that word authentic so much, but just be true to themselves as what they want to express and how they're going to do it. And that's where you're going to get your best results.
Well, I think you're right, because the word authentic sometimes does come across as being traditional, quote unquote, or how it's always done.
Yeah. Or insider, outsider, you know, who gets to be authentic, who gets to carry that
torch.
And that, I don't, you know, that's a whole discussion in itself, of course.
Oh, yeah. But,
I just like to say, I think that we try to be true to who we are as people and, you know, musicians, I guess.
Yeah. And I'm, you're doing you. And that's what matters.
You do you.
You do you.
So, yeah, you know, I'm trying to be.
You're wearing that Vols hat right now. You're doing you. You know?
Man, let me tell you something. I live in Georgia right now.
Oh.
Wearing a Vols hat down here is like.
Trouble.
I'm telling you.
I'm a gutsy fella, let me tell you.
You are, man.
Get beat up down here for wearing this hat, let me tell you.
Can't believe you walk the streets like that.
Exactly.
The background there. So
yeah, you got to, yeah, you got your red back there. You're trying to make up for it.
Oh my God. Guy from the Cleverleys, I was interviewing him about 3 or 4 weeks ago. He's like, okay, before we get started, are you just laying down on a giant checkerboard? And I was like,
valid question.
You're like holding the of your face.
Taking a nap right now.
Wow, that's insightful.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Oh man. But I'm just telling you guys have you got this feeling about you that it's time for you guys to break out. So take every advantage that comes your way, and you know, Ty and these guys at Mountain Home are just, man, they're just incredible. I don't want to say it this way, but they sniff out talent and there it is, and then they work with you.
They've been really supportive of our music. We had a band before this called Red June. It wasn't really a bluegrass band. It was more of a singer-songwriter kind of emo acoustic project. They were really supportive of that project. And then when Natalia and I kind of decided to go back to sort of our grassier, rootsier roots, they were supportive of that as well after we got a little bit established. And they've been all those guys, Mickey and everybody, and John Weisberger has been very supportive of, has helped us, has produced the last 3 records we've made, and has been just a real ally. And he's just such a brilliant guy. And so that's, yeah, we've it's been nice.
I'm just, this is just between you and I, but where did John come from? I don't understand. He could take something, mold it into something. He hears things that we don't hear, and it just amazes me.
How
he does this all the time. It's just crazy.
Yeah, he's a deep thinker and a deep listener, and he's a scholar of the music, and he just can really, I think he really dives deep, which is cool.
Yeah, and you can tell that in his songwriting and everything. I mean, the guy, like I said, is just really, really brilliant guy.
Yeah, knowledgeable. You know?
It's shocking sometimes, though. I mean, I have people that record with him or whatever, and they'll say, you know, we weren't even going left, but he said go left, and we trusted him, and it happened.
And I get that. I mean, we've been, you know, we've always been sort of, you know, a lot of artists are always sort of like, in especially if you're recording your own music or stuff that you're, you know, people, they don't like to relinquish control or something. And I've felt like, at least speaking for myself, I've been pretty trusting of John. I trust him as a person, and his musical ear is good. We don't always agree about everything, you know, but it's,
but you listen to him.
But I do listen to him. Yeah. I have really come to trust him, in the studio.
Yeah.
Rarely find something that I would be like, oh, you know, I might have done it a different way. And, you know, he's got a great ear for the music. He knows the music really well.
Yeah.
He knows the roots of the music. It shows.
Yeah, it's just shocking sometimes. I wanted to bring that up, but I didn't want to, you know, make this all about him. But
he deserves some accolades.
Yeah.
He really does. He puts in the time and has worked with a lot of bands, and, you know, really puts in the time, and he should be celebrated for that.
Yeah, that's true. Well, you guys need to be celebrated for what you're doing. So everybody needs to get down to Black Mountain, North Carolina at the White Horse. They calling it the White Horse Saloon now, or what are they calling it?
They just call it the White Horse Black Mountain.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
I can't remember if it was called something else when I was there a few years ago or not. I can't remember.
I'm not sure.
Did it open? Was it 2008? I think I was just reading. Yeah, they just had a great article in the Mountain Express about, they're now shifting to a nonprofit model, actually. Mm-hmm.
Good.
They're kind of like doing memberships and different events and things like that. And I had just had a really nice article about the organization in the Mountain Express. So, yeah, I think it started in 2008 was when they founded it.
Wow. Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah, it's cool. It's been a real great asset for the music community, especially because, you know, we lost the ISIS Music Hall this year. So that was, you know, a kind of a blow. Like, to have these smaller, intimate, you know, listening rooms is important for especially music, you know, acoustic musicians.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's the one thing I enjoyed about Bristol so much is, you know, they had these really great small places you could go, like almost like listening rooms.
Right. Yeah.
Quote unquote. And, you know, now there's a casino there. You can go anywhere, any day of the week, and hear some really great music.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. But, you know, smaller, reasonably sized venues in the 150 range or more, maybe a little bit, have always been sort of like the bluegrass bread and butter. I mean, look at places like the Station Inn that are still just like, institutions. I don't know. I mean, we were up in Bristol not too long ago. We played the Farm and Fun Time show up there,
with
those guys. And that was a real treat for us because, you know, Grandpa played that. used to play that with Flat and Scruggs. And I had always kind of wanted to play it. And when they started doing it again, I was like, oh, man, we got to get up and do that. I'll do that all day long. You know, so
Chris Trulson and those guys, man. Chris was a huge supporter of what I was doing when he found out I was running the ACMA. And he would bring, you know, Bill and the Bells over there on any Thursday night that I wanted him to, and pack the place out. And it was in a small, little place, man. I'm maybe 75 people at the most.
Chris is great. He's a real asset to Bristol.
That
whole area up there for sure. Mm-hmm. Really great guy.
Yeah. Those are great people, man. Bristol is a great place to be. And I do miss it about 18 times a week. You know, I'm thinking, man, I wish I was at home, you know?
Yeah.
But I've got grandkids here, and man, it's not as easy to pack the old car up and move on, you know, as it used to be. So,
yeah,
I'm looking forward to watching this really blossom and happen.
Thank you.
Keep doing it. Keep you know, keep kicking them out there, man. I love it.
Appreciate it.
Yeah. Yeah, we really appreciate it.
Man, no problem. Thank you guys for sitting down and talking with me tonight. I've been here with Zoe and Cloyd, and my name is Rick Dollar on the Rick Dollar Show.
Yeah.
Thanks.